This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash your rock to smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Monday. It's quite nice outside.
Yeah, 70. It's supposed to be 80 tomorrow.
Careful now. I have shorts on.
We're not going. I'm not going to say it, but we're getting there.
It's spring 7.0.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. I still think we're on 3.2.
No, okay.
We're still 3.2.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we're on a heater right now.
Mm.
Like, it's not. It's been good. Even over the weekend when it was like 60.
It warmed
I'll
up.
I'll take that.
It warmed up during the day.
I put on shorts today, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Wearing the long pants.
I think you wear short pants. Mm. I don't think you wear shorts, Jeff. I think with that mustache... You say short pants. I'm wearing my short pants.
Well, look, let's face it. These are the same pair of short pants that I was once accused of being jorts, but they are not. They're kind of a faded blue Docker shorts.
All right. We'll have to...
But they are not jorts.
We'll have to take a photo.
They are not jorts.
And post... Well, the public will decide.
They are not jorts. They are Dockers. Mm.
They're dorts?
Dorts.
They are a... faded blue
wearing some Lou Dorts.
They are the Lou Dorts.
Yeah.
Supposed to rain Sunday, Monday, Wednesday of next week.
There it is. Hum, babe.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Well.
Don't like that. You know what I do like?
What?
I like game sevens. Well, I like the idea of them at least.
Yep.
Warriors-Rockets. Warriors win 103-89. It really wasn't that close. The offense was nowhere to be found.
It was offensive.
Yeah. It was not great. I want to drop this little nuggy.
Drop it.
In game seven, Steve Kerr pulled out the zone defense for the Houston Rockets. Do you know what the Rockets scored on a points per shot basis? They only took 20 shots
against
that
the zone
defense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the small sample size.
So you're looking at a max of 60. If they took 20 shots and all of them were threes.
Well,
like,
no.
I know. I'm saying the max would be 60.
Sure.
And the points per shot would then be three. I'm going to go 0.7.
Half that.
Oh.
0.35.
Yikes, dog.
Okay. As an aside, the Indiana Pacers have faced a zone with 39 shots.
Okay.
What do you think their average point per shot is?
You said the Pacers?
Yes.
Boy, I'm trying to figure out where they're in this conversation, but I'm going to say it's higher.
1.44.
Yeah, all right.
Otherwise known as don't throw a freaking zone at the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, they're going to make you pay.
That's 145 points per 100.
Golly. Now,
yeah.
They don't get the credit for the, as Hassan Whiteside would say, we got them shooters.
We talked about this on Friday. I said, when we talked about like teams that you're a little like leery of like, hey, they could be a little bit of a disruptor. That yeah. Pacers team is really freaking good. And we'll talk about that here in the next segment. But the Houston Rockets, I don't think it was disappointing that they lost in game seven in the first round of the playoffs with this core. I did pick them to ultimately win this series because I just didn't think the Rockets were going to have enough to do with their size, which, as an aside, the Alperen Şengün, Steven Adams, do you know what their net rating was on the court?
Well, I saw the ridiculous number of Steven Adams, which his was through the freaking roof.
20.9 with those two on the floor.
That seems good.
I don't know why they didn't go to it more. Like it was like, well, it's free throws and space. Like you have no spacing to begin with. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. Lean into it at this point. Like just make it a car crash and hope everyone dies. Like that's what it felt like. Because if you watch that game, Şengün's getting kind of killed because he was 8 of 21 in the game. Part of that is offensive game planning.
Yeah.
And so many times you would see them run a Şengün post up that had Şengün posting up Draymond Green of all people, but on the left block, like the low left block, not even the mid left block, where you can have him spin middle or spin baseline or face up and see a double team. It was always in the deep left block where his options were to spin into that one legged fadeaway or to spin middle into the double team. There was nowhere else for him to go. There was nothing else to do. There's no spacing. There's no nothing. And it's like, was Şengün great? No, but nobody was outside of Amen Thompson.
No. And that's why that game broke the way it did. Like we could, stars matter and their best player, what they neutralized him. And they finally did it in game seven. They sure as hell didn't do it in game six.
No.
But that is where Ime Udoka is a fantastic coach. And I think everybody is opening their eyes to really how important and how good he is as a coach. Mm-hmm. But Steve Kerr said, all right, I got a little something for you too.
We're going to zone this up. We know you can't shoot. We know you want to go to the rim. We're going to collapse everything. And we know that there's nothing you can do unless you grab every offensive rebound.
But that adjustment that they made, though, is like, we're going to play a zone. And then when you do to get it to Şengün, we're just going to take everything he does well away. Mm-hmm. And that, Steve Kerr is a damn fine coach.
And for all of the hell Draymond Green gets, which some of it is deserved, the Rockets were 3 of 17 shooting against him in game seven.
Can I say, like, the game six Friday night, where he,
Superman
on that
punches
screen,
Fred VanVleet.
What in the hell is he doing out there?
I have no idea how he didn't get tossed out of the game.
I
have no idea.
And the leash is ridiculously long. Mm-hmm. And I thought Doris Burke did a really good job.
Her and Green both were like, this is ridiculous.
But Doris Burke said, I know he's got a long leash, but this isn't what a leash should be.
No.
And I wholeheartedly agree. I am for physical basketball, mm-hmm. playoff, the whole quote-unquote playoff basketball. And there's a lot of fouls that should not be called in the postseason that you do in the regular season. And a level of physicality is good for a series, and it's good for the NBA in what the playoffs are. What Draymond Green continually does is egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, how do Warriors fans even sit there and go, this is just playoff basketball. These guys aren't used to it.
Titles.
It's ridiculous.
That's why. You can
it's
justify
absolutely
it in the titles.
Ridiculous. But he is a habitual line stepper.
Line crosser.
It's absolutely insane to see that.
And now we get to see him match up against Gobert. Two people who do not like each other at all.
I'm here for it.
I am all for it. All right, coming up next.
Wait, well, I have one stat on the Pacers, by the way. You mentioned their shooting.
Yeah.
You know how many guys they have shooting over 40% in the postseason from three?
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have seven players shooting over 40% from three in the postseason.
Which is exactly where we're going to go next. The Indiana Pacers, they're the first team to, steal home court advantage in round two as they go into Cleveland and take game one. Are the Cavs in trouble? Danny and Dusty today, the Fan. Well, they say you don't have a series until the road team wins. The Indiana Pacers went into Cleveland in game one of the second round of the NBA playoffs in the Eastern Conference and stole home court.
God damn.
From the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was I don't want to take away from the Pacers. I really don't. It was a 121-112 win. I thought what you saw from the Indiana Pacers was the best that they could possibly play.
Oh. Look, Darius Garland, his injury, that obviously is going to impact this entire series.
He's got a great big toe injury.
But then Kenny Atkinson saying today that there are more injuries, he said, and he actually went into it, and it was like there were two plays that crossed the line of physicality. Mm-hmm. He said the non-call on DeAndre Hunter, which ended up dislocating his thumb.
Yeah.
That's significant. And then Evan Mobley is questionable with an ankle when he says he was not given ample space to land.
The other one, it actually didn't turn into an injury. It didn't even turn into a foul. Did you see the two-handed push from Miles Turner in Jared Allen's chest?
Yeah.
That sent him to the ground in a heap?
And that is what we're talking about with, like, the Draymond Green isn't the only one.
No.
But he does it repeatedly over and over again. Like, those things in the NBA, like, I appreciate physicality. Mm-hmm. It's crossing the line, though.
Yeah.
You know, the two-hand chest shove to another man who's, Jared Allen is, he's 6'11"?
He's 7-footer.
He's 7 foot?
Yeah.
But he's probably 270.
265, 270? Yeah. He's a big, looks skinny. Jared Allen is huge.
And the way he went down, you were like, boy, that's a lot of force.
Oh, he landed like a sack of bricks.
So, like, those are the things where I'm like, a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Don't mind seeing it. You can blow a whistle, though.
Yeah, on that, look, just because it's physical doesn't mean you can't call a foul.
Yeah.
Like it's my whole thing in when you're talking about, like, fouls in basketball, my ethos, it's not no blood, no foul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a line. Like, I'm okay with, like, drivers getting hand-checked and getting bumped off their spaces. When you hit a guy in the air, that to me is, like, a big no-no. Like, no matter what level of physicality, because there's just only so much you can do to control that. And when you, the necessary force you have to hit a guy like Jared Allen with to upend him in midair is pretty significant.
Yes.
You're not hitting, you know, Bird Bones Ja Morant in midair. You're hitting a 7 foot, 270 pound big guy
in the middle
of the chest with enough force that his legs continue and his upper body stops.
But when you say that the Indiana Pacers played about as good as they can, their starting five all shot over 50%, with the exception of Pascal Siakam, who shot 40% from the field. The level of efficiency that they played with, it's how you win games on the road in the playoffs. The Cavaliers, with three significant injuries, you want to know how one seed goes down in the playoffs? That's how, right there. Because Garland, Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter, by the way, if you guys forgot, he peeled off six man of the year votes
from Dejrome
because he was in Atlanta and then he's ended up in Cleveland. Important piece and a huge factor moving forward. Those three guys, if they don't have them or they are significantly limited in this series, dude, Indiana's got more than a puncher's chance. They're probably in the catbird seat because Donovan Mitchell can drop 40 a game, but at the same time, if you don't have that help around you, it's done.
And it wasn't their offense is really the problem. It was their defense. And not like the Cavs' defense is very good. But when you're starting Sam Merrill and Max Strus, like it drops, like everybody just gets pushed up a peg and it gets a little wonkier. And Donovan Mitchell couldn't hit a three to save his life. He was 1 of 11 from three, but he was 12 of 19 from two. His ability, like when the game got tight or when they got back into the game in the second and third quarter, Donovan Mitchell was a demon. I mean, he was an absolute... I said it during the game. It's the closest I've ever seen anybody to Damian Lillard. As far as, like, I'm going to just do this and as an undersized guard. I don't care if my shot's not falling. There's nothing you can do to stop me. I'm getting to the rim. I'm going to get to the line. I'm going to manufacture points. And, like, the way he does it, it's very Dame-esque of, like, getting his shoulder in front, powering through, then getting a little bit of footwork, but finishing very strongly at the rim. But it didn't matter because the Pacers shot 53% from the field, 53% from three, and 93% from the free throw line. The only mark that they had on them that was a negative is they had 16 turnovers.
Yeah.
And that's because they play with such pace. Tyrese Halliburton, 9 of 15, 22 points, 13 assists, one turnover.
Well, and I'll tell you the Darius Garland injury and where it has the biggest factor. And they mentioned it during the broadcast. When Ty Jerome took the eight-second violation in an NBA game, holy smokes, that doesn't happen very often. No. But they mentioned he is slow.
Yeah.
And it is wildly apparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the massive disadvantage that he has.
Yes. He's not, and Darius Garland, it's one of the five quickest guards in the league.
And having him have to play that many minutes in the load that he has to bear in crunch time with the ball in his hand, that's going to be a detriment to Cleveland.
And because Garland, to me, his greatest strength is that he's a Mike Conley-esque organizer of like, whoa, 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 whoa. Pumping the hands, pumping the brakes, like, everybody chill. This is what we're running. This is what we're doing. And everybody just goes, you're right. You got it, DG. Get us into something.
You know who he kind of reminds me of? Kevin Johnson, Suns.
Yeah.
Like, just a little jitterbug. Like, he gets on the floor and he will blow right past you. But he's a facilitator that has that pizzazz, though. He can score, too.
Oh, he can. When he gets going, he can go.
Yeah.
It's the little microwave. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. He reminds me a lot of, like, KJ back when those Suns teams would beat you up. And then he would blow right past you, kick out to shooters. God, those Suns teams were fun.
Thunder Dan.
Thunder Dan Marley, Charles Barkley, Danny Ainge. Like, those were, AC Green was on those teams. Those are fun basketball. Yeah,
still
teams.
Tom Chambers back then too,
in the early era. Yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, there's a reason why those teams were pushing Western Conference Finals and NBA Finals.
Yeah, they really, were fun.
They're really good. The Pacers are 28-3 when Tyrese Halliburton scores 20 or more.
That seems good.
He's not this huge, like, prolific scorer. 13 assists to one turnover while being on the ball that much is absolutely insane.
And I think that's kind of like the beauty of the way that they are playing right now is I mentioned before we went to break that they've got seven guys on their roster that are shooting over 40%. He is not one of them. And the reason why everybody else is getting those looks is because he will barrel down the lane and it's like, oh crap. Three, four guys have to come and help, and he's just like, boop, out.
The buckets. Way the Pacers move the ball, it's Spursian. It pings around. Like,
the extra pass.
The passes, they aren't passing just for passing sake.
Mm-mm.
And the way they manipulate a defense, this is what Rick Carlisle does. He takes his team and he maximizes these things of like, the one thing I love about Hallie, and I've mentioned this so many times, is that even though he's a premier creator, he's not like Trae Young where he's just dominating the ball all the time. If he gets an inbounds and he sees Pascal Siakam has a step on somebody just going into the half court, he's going to fire that thing to Pascal to put a defense into rotation before he even crosses half court, because he's like, if I could create an advantage at 19 seconds, I'm going to create an advantage, because now the defense is scrambling at 19 seconds as opposed to forcing them to scramble at 12 where you don't have the ability because they get into it. I think it was Kenny Smith on TNT made a really good point saying how they play you at 97 feet. And what he meant by that was just because you get deep and get to the rim and score, what happens is your offense, if you're Donovan Mitchell and you're driving the rim, what naturally happens is your offense flattens out. And by that, I mean guys get closer to the baseline, because as you drive, you want to make that kick pass to the corner. Well, when that happens, now Jared Allen's in the dunker spot, and Evan Mobley's sunk into the corner. They inbound the ball, and they're going. Now you've got cross matches. You've just got to pick up. You've got to pick up. And now Jared Allen, instead of being the first guy back because he's under the dunker spot looking for an offensive rebound or a putback, and Mobley's at the three-point line in the deep corner, there's no rim protector. So now you've got somebody smaller like Donovan Mitchell's got to bust back after he's in the first row to try to get back to stop ball penetration. And the Pacers want to play at that pace.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good name for the team.
It's really good. But what's incredible is you've got a guy every single night for these Pacers. And last night, Andrew Nembhard is maybe one of my biggest misses as a draft evaluator. I thought he'd be a fringe NBA player. He has been absolutely incredible. He has a 28-4 assist to turnover ratio in the playoffs so far.
But just with guys like Nembhard, though, fit is so important to what they do. Like, we just got done talking about Ty Jerome. Looks like a snail. The fit in Cleveland, he doesn't fit everywhere.
No.
He doesn't. Nembhard doesn't fit everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that is the hardest thing to do in the NBA is you get these guys, and with the coaching turnover league-wide, it's really hard when you have that, you know, new head coach comes in, or the player movement itself, all of those pieces don't really fit really well together. You have got, you do have to have some patience if you have a young core, but at the same time, when you have the star, you got to build around that star the right way. Cleveland's done it, man. Cleveland has done it in spades, and it's really fun to watch. And there's no secret to why they have been on the rise that they have been. In the acquisition of Donovan Mitchell, it could not have come at a better time. The pairings of the players that they have him with.
And that was a big time swing. So coming next, we do have a little bit of breaking news in the NFL. We need to dive into a
breaking kicker news.
Yeah, well, you know, a likely Hall of Famer has been cut. We'll dive into that next here. But first, here's Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
God, this is beautiful music. Truly, doesn't get any better.
That's one way to put it.
I can tell you right now, it could definitely be better for one person in the NFL. Now, former Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker, as the Ravens have made the move to release kicker Justin Tucker amid allegations from 16 different massage therapists of sexual misconduct.
At 8 different spas, 2 of which the Baltimore Banner say he was banned from, though Tucker says that all of the allegations are false. And he's never been banned from a massage parlor.
Yeah, that's why 16 of them were coming together.
That didn't know each other.
This is the statement from Vice President and General Manager Eric DaCosta of the Baltimore Ravens. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. The Ravens have drafted a kicker just last week. Justin created many significant, unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the very best in the next chapter of their lives.
Yeah, well, I could read between the lines there and say you said nothing about his character and what a great person he is. And he's being accused by 16 different women who did not know each other of sexual misconduct. Also, he missed 10 kicks last year and ranked 31st in conversion rate in kicking. So he had fallen off of a cliff production-wise. And, oh, by the way,
he might be a complete and utter dirtbag.
Yep. And they're trying to save face as much as they can because, look, if Justin Tucker is found to be in the clear of all of these things, which is also a possibility, though harder and harder to believe with every woman and accusation that comes forward.
Even if it doesn't settle in criminal court, it'll go civil, and he's going to be out of the game for a while, I think.
Well, he's probably done forever. I mean, he's not that good anymore either. And they also drafted a kicker in the sixth round, Tyler Loop, the kid from Arizona, who nailed a 62-yarder this year and was really damn good for Arizona. So they filled the spot. He wasn't good. He is potentially a horrendous dirtbag, and they're wiping their hands clean of him. And we've talked about this right when the story came out, and it was pretty damning and graphic, the details that women that who had no idea.
Just 3 originally, right?
No. The first one, well, 3 went on the record, but then there were, is part of the report. But they said at the time there was like others, 6 or 7 that they had talked to that weren't a part of the article. Now you have 16 women, and look,
chasing Deshaun Watson's record here, not one you want to hold.
Not one at all.
Especially when you're just a kicker.
Yeah, he is.
At least be of a position of consequence.
Well, that's the thing, is the sliding scale of dirtbag to talent got skewed, and that leads to this move.
Yeah, and so we have Justin Tucker out. Doubt he'll ever play again.
God, the AFC North loves their dirtbags.
And the Ravens actually get lucky in this, that this is the first year of his deal where none of his money is guaranteed, so they don't have to pay him anything. They're going to probably designate him a post-June 1 cut, which will free up his cap number, because even though they don't have to pay him, salary still goes against salary cap. It'll save them $4.2 million against the cap this year, and Justin Tucker is dead to the Ravens now.
I mean, he's dead to a lot of people, I think.
Hate to see it.
Although I've already seen some comments from people like, what, you're just going to convict him right now? And I'm like, dog, it's... Look,
I'm not going to
get a fair trial, but 16's pretty damning.
We've seen a lot of these, and look, there's a lot of times where
this isn't a punt god situation.
Well, but we know that a lot of these situations, it's not true.
Yeah,
and I'm willing to say maybe he didn't do it, but you need to look at what the facts are. And what the facts are is that 16 women who did not know each other had eerily similar stories over 8 different spas. Mm-hmm. And
over a long time span.
In an area that was not all right next to each other. Mm-hmm. It is not looking good. Let the facts come out. And the NFL is holding their investigation. But... smells like a dirtbag. Looks like a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Might be a dirtbag.
Might be a dirtbag. So, all right, that's your dirtbag kicker news, as it were. As we wrap up today's show, the NBA draft lottery is a week away, and the transaction cycles for teams that are no longer in the playoffs are getting underway very quickly, including a little bit of news about the local team. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Well, we move into round 2 of the NBA playoffs. The teams that are done... business is starting to circulate about what teams are hoping to do, and the Orlando Magic are at the very top of that list. Oh. It is very clear what that team needs.
Yeah.
They need shooting.
They need shooters.
And a drastic amount of it. Jalen Suggs and his return to form and health will help them. It is not enough. We saw them shoot under 40% game after game, and then just from three, from the field. As bad as the Rockets were shooting, the Orlando Magic were a travesty. And Jake Fisher and Mark Stein had this yesterday. As the new offseason beckons, another Trailblazers target has been increasingly projected as an Orlando Magic target. And he says another because during the Damian Lillard trade saga, as it were, and I know this to be true, both executives around the league and Damian Lillard's camp wondered if the Orlando Magic would get in. Like, that was kind of as far as, like, the dark horse contenders in my conversations with people that were involved, the Spurs and the Magic were the dark horses, where Damian Lillard himself could see him playing in for both those teams. Like, that was that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see which way those teams decided to go. Both teams said, no, we're going to wait and kind of see how things settle with our young stars. And you're seeing this with the Orlando Magic, and I think you're going to see this with the Houston Rockets, of like, okay, we kind of know what we are, and we know who matters. For Houston, it's Amen Thompson and then everybody else. For the Orlando Magic right now, it's Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, and Jalen Suggs, and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Fisher and Stein go Lillard's backcourt mate, Anthony Simons. The 25-year-old is an Orlando native, would certainly be blending nicely from a timeline perspective. You'll recall that Simon's one of our 4 Blazers that we mentioned in a recent Around the League notebook, including Robert Williams III, DeAndre Ayton, and Matisse Thybulle, as players that are routinely posited by rival teams as potential trade candidates. I will say this entirely sourced. The Orlando Magic have called on Anthony Simons before.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they have called this year, not just the post-trade deadline, but after the season ended. It's a natural fit in the sense of that. I just don't think the Portland Trailblazers are interested in what the Orlando Magic have to offer for Anthony Simons.
So it's not Paolo Banchero or Franz Wagner?
No. And what you're probably looking at in return is one of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony Black, and a first-round pick. And that first round pick is the Denver Nuggets first round pick. And if you don't know, the Denver Nuggets are still playing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
You're looking like the 24th, 22nd pick in this draft?
Because both these teams need shooters. And you mentioned Jalen Suggs isn't going to fix that. Like, Jalen Suggs this year was bad three-point shooter, and he has been bad in his career. On his career, averaged 33% three-point shooter.
He started to figure it out last year and then coming into this year, but the injury just completely derailed him.
This year, he shot 31% mm-hmm. from three. Last year, he was 39%, which would put him, by the way, 40th in the NBA. Yeah. In three-point percentage at 39%.
39% though is a good number.
A good number, but 40th in the NBA yeah. for qualifying three-point shooters. Still not what gets you over the hump if you were the Orlando Magic. And coming off a significant injury, having 2 years prior to that mm-hmm. where he was not a good shooter, your world's probably somewhere in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Guys, things can click, but this year he wasn't good either, even when he was healthy.
Ant's a career 39% three-point shooter on insane volume.
Yes, and that's the other thing about Jalen Suggs. Volume, it was starting to get there, but he wasn't shooting. Like, he had the most volume this year of yeah. any other year, and his numbers went back down. The Blazers also need shooting.
Mm-hmm. Desperately.
That does not help anything
no.
for Portland to get shooting.
No, not at all.
And KCP, we know, is a fit guy.
And he had a very bad year for Denver, or for Orlando. After having very good years for LA and Denver. It could be a one-off year. It could be KCP kind of falling off the wagon, as it were, as a shooter, getting a little bit older, a little longer in the tooth. But as it stands right now, as the Blazers roster currently sits, I would be more surprised if they traded Anthony Simons than if they gave him an extension.
Really?
Yes. Because he does one thing for this team, shooting, and creating his own shot that nobody else in the team can do anywhere near his clip.
Hmm. And that extension would be hefty.
Here's the thing. If you're talking about a 20-point-per-game starter in the NBA, which Ant is, he's right at that line, you're looking at paying that guy across the league $30 million.
Let somebody else do it.
Well, I mean, that's it doesn't matter. I'm telling you any.
Well, no, we know what you're saying.
Non-rookie
yeah.
scales.
Yeah, but we know what you're saying. But
let somebody else do it.
No.
I mean, not if he's going to walk and you're going to get nothing in return, but if you're going to get something in return that helps the team moving forward, then, I mean, there shouldn't be like this. He's bolted down. They're not training Anthony Simons.
I just don't think they would trade him unless they got somebody like that either in that deal or in another deal adjacent to it.
Yeah.
Because they are so bereft of shooting.
But there is also all of the conversations about multi-team deals mm-hmm. and would it behoove the Blazers to get in on a multi-year deal where if Orlando, or multi-team deal where Orlando wants Anthony Simons, mm-hmm. the Blazers have a piece that they want, and in like whether it's Banchero or Wagner, Wagner's been the guy who's been kind of linked to Portland through several reports, but if it's like Franz Wagner comes to Portland in a three-way deal that sweetens the pot enough for Orlando to say, all right, fine, we'll take Ant from you, you get Wagner, and then whatever that third team gets something else in return to kind of sweeten the pot, and you make this move happen, hell yeah, you do it.
But, I mean, if they do decide to re-up him rather mm-hmm. than move him, doesn't that kind of recreate and reopen the whole, perhaps, this Portland Trailblazers organization overcovets their own pieces?
Mm-hmm. Because if Orlando is sitting there and saying he's Cole Anthony and, you know, KCP and I don't know who else you put in there.
Anthony Black in a first.
Anthony Black
in
a first.
The 2025 Denver first.
And that's what the market is for Anthony Simons, then yeah, that is kind of Portland overvaluing and saying, well, we think that he's like Wagner type. Right. And somebody else. And I'm not saying Portland thinks that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be keeping him, holding on to him, not making very many moves, and moves are all around the periphery. Yeah, it kind of does feel that way.
I think it's a lot about fit more than anything else.
Yeah.
And yeah. You take a look at and the numbers are going to start getting crazy for NBA guys. That's just the reality. Just as a point of reference, Emmanuel Quickley signed a $32.5 million deal with the Raptors. That's just under, on average value, under 20, or right at 20% of the cap. You know what Ant's at right now, or his deal was under the old CBA? 18.8%.
Yeah.
So it's almost the exact same rate.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, that does it for us. Monday's over.
There you go.
We'll be back Tuesday. Tomorrow.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Blazers are already bringing in guys for pre-draft workouts.
Yeah. Like,
things are getting heating up. By the way, the draft lottery, a week from
today.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get that thing all squared away. All right. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac Zook. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Bye.
I'm Al Heffern.